The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Every morning is a new opportunity to take in the news of the day and the challenges of life and try to make sense of it all. Right now, we've got a show that tackles the topics and asks what you think. So get ready to start your day with a bold look at history as it happens. Let's learn, live, and sometimes laugh together. It's the Mark Davis Show on 660 AM, The Answer.
And good morning, everybody, on this Wednesday, the third day of August, 2022. Come on in. We got a lot to talk about from election results last night. We've got things in the news today. Nancy Pelosi in and out of Taiwan in less than 24 hours. And I have to tell you, for this last day and for the days leading up to her visit, it has felt good. There has been something uplifting, something just good, something deliciously counterintuitive about having Speaker Pelosi do something that's really good that I can speak well of. I lead a delightfully partisan life, and I'm happy to. Partisan's a bad word. Shouldn't be. It just means standing up for what you believe in. Liberal Democrats are partisan. Conservative Republicans are partisan. Sometimes people shying away from partisanship become weak warriors and are way interested in compromise when we need to stand firm and reaching across the aisle when you should be fighting for your own side, in working with Democrats when you should try to be beating Democrats. That's my life, is fighting for these things. There are things worth fighting for. I fight for them every day. And that usually means fighting against Speaker Pelosi and everyone in her party. But if she takes a congressional delegation to Taiwan to cement the relationship with that independent island off the coast of the evil Chinese regime, that is a fantastic thing, and I cannot say enough good things about her trip. And that's just felt nice to do that. It will feel good to pay a tribute here in a couple of seconds. We'll cover the big stuff in the news, of course, obviously. But a giant, not just of American broadcasting, but a voice that is part of the soundtrack of the American story for the better part of the last century. You will know him as the broadcast voice of the Los Angeles Dodgers for 67 years in the booth for the Dodgers, 1950 to 2016. The great, and I do not throw this around, the legendary Vin Scully passed away yesterday at 94. If you don't know the name, you'll know the voice and you'll hear it in a couple of seconds, because this is a passing that cannot go unnoticed, and I mean at the top of the show. We have a bunch of things. Tudor Dixon won her Michigan gubernatorial primary, and if we fight hard enough, she's going to beat Gretchen Whitmer, and we're going to have a Republican governor in Michigan. Dare we dream. Eric Schmidt, one of the two Erics endorsed by Trump, beat Eric Greitens in Missouri. That's a good thing, because Eric Greitens is a freak. Just tons of personal issue problems there, and I mean of an extremely disturbing variety that we cannot promptly forget about, because he's not in the primary. Eric Schmidt is. Carrie Lake is ahead but not declared the winner. Another Trump W for the Arizona governor's race. Let's also herald a loss. Peter Meyer, one of those 10 turncoat weasel Republicans who voted for Trump impeachment. Goodbye. Bye, Felicia. Peter Meyer loses in his Michigan congressional primary. Please, God, let that phenomenon carry through to the wisdom of the good people of Wyoming, so that we can say a proper farewell to Liz Cheney 2 weeks from this morning. All right, let's do this, and then we'll talk about. Then I'll just share with you just a little something about Vin Scully, and various other things going on in the news. Our chat with Mike Gallagher is coming at 7:35. Attorney General Ken Paxton is with us today at 8:35. We're going to ask him, is there anything that can be done about scofflaw cities? Cities Denton already, Austin already, shocker, now Dallas, that will essentially turn a blind eye toward enforcing the new abortion laws that are kicking in post-Roe v. Wade, Texas. So we'll ask him about that and a few other things at 8:35. Leading into all of that, Lord, guide us and protect us as we face the challenges of each new day. We thank you every day for this blessed nation and for your hand in creating it. Fill our hearts with the energy to protect the freedoms which come from you, which our nation was founded to protect. Let us navigate these troubling times with a positive spirit, treating others as we would want to be treated. Lord, these are times of trial and challenge. Lift us as we follow your word and work for a better America where our Constitution is honored, our schools are safe, our elections are reliable, our borders work, where we protect the unborn, where we fight for the meaning and the intent of the two genders you created, and where our differences are hashed out with honesty and goodwill, and our freedoms of speech and worship are protected. As we face each day's problems, give us the clarity to look around and cherish our many blessings in our nation, our great state of Texas, our communities, and our families. If we follow you, Lord, we know we can get through anything. And we ask these things in your holy name. Amen. Speaking of protecting the unborn, in post-Roe v. Wade America, states get to make up their own minds. And there was a referendum in Kansas yesterday with their primary. And the Kansas Constitution contains a protection of abortion rights. Okay. And they had the opportunity, voters had the opportunity to get rid of that yesterday, and they did not do that. So this was a victory for the pro-aborts, and boy, were they in full party down mode and bringed verb tenses are troubling to me in the first hour. And they brought out all the index cards of abortion care and, you know, my personal choices. If there's nobody else's interest, I'll let you hear that in a second. But first, with God still on our minds, We should thank the Lord above for placing in our midst people like Vin Scully. And this is about way more than baseball. It's about way more than broadcasting. The kind of values that he embodied, the kind of just this man loved America, loved America's game. Let me take you on just a little short walk because you will recognize the voice. And maybe you remember watching TV in that April night in 1974 as Hank Aaron came to the plate for to break Babe Ruth's record, and Vin Scully, who's the Dodgers broadcaster already and had been for 24 years at the time, he would eventually log 67 years in the Dodger booth. I haven't been alive for 67 years. Good grief. So here's Vin Scully calling Hank Aaron's record-breaking home run 1974.
Professional and pitches game. One ball and no strikes. Aaron waiting. The outfield deep and straight away. Fastball is a high drive into deep left center field. Buckner goes back to the fence. It is gone.
An amazing moment, the soundtrack of which provided by Vin Scully. One of the great moments in all of baseball is a Dodger moment, and that is from 1988. It is game one of the World Series. Vin Scully's beloved Dodgers are down 3-2 in the bottom of the ninth, two out. The only guy left to pinch hit is the almost mortally wounded Kirk Gibson, and Kirk Gibson comes to the plate in a moment for the ages.
And look who's coming up. And all year long, he answered the demands until he was physically unable to start tonight with two bad legs, the bad left hamstring and the swollen right knee. He's trying to catch lightning right now.
They're playing the A's in the World Series, a World Series they would eventually win. Dennis Eckersley on the mound for the A's, and it's 4-3, and they're down one, bottom of the ninth. Two out.
3-2 at the plate. High fly ball into right field. She is gone.
And this is the famous Kirk Gibson fist pump as he rounds the bases, barely able to walk. And once again, the incredible, incredible Vin Scully. He, as I said, called games all the way up to 2016. And after his last game was finished, after his final out had been called, Vin Scully had a message for the Dodger fans and for all Americans who had spent so much time honoring him.
You know, friends, so many people have wished me congratulations on a 67-year career in baseball, and they've wished me a wonderful retirement with my family. And now, all I can do is tell you what I wish for you. May God give you for every storm a rainbow, for every tear a smile, for every care a promise, and a blessing in each trial. For every problem life seems, a faithful friend to share. For every sigh, a sweet song and an answer for each prayer. You and I have been friends for a long time, but I know in my heart that I've always needed you more than you've ever needed me. And I'll miss our time together more than I can say. But you know what? There will be a new day and eventually a new year. And when the upcoming winter gives way to spring, oh, rest assured, once again, it will be time for Dodger baseball. So this is Vin Scully wishing you a very pleasant good afternoon wherever you may be.
I'm not crying. You're crying. Oh, man. My first memory of Vin Scully, do you remember how big game shows were? In the 60s and 70s, if you were a kid and you were homesick from school, you know, you could watch some syndicated I Love Lucy, but then eventually all the really sweet game shows would roll out. And all the game shows, the big TV game shows, as in sort of a golden age for such things in TV, were hosted. They were all taped in Los Angeles. So who'd they go get? They said, all right, we need people with broadcast talent, and it'd be great if they're in L.A. So they went and got Los Angeles disc jockeys and sports announcers and stuff. That's where you get Bill Cullen. It's where you get Dennis James. It's where you get Bob Barker. And it's where they got Vin Scully to do a game show called It Takes Two, not in the Hall of Fame of game shows. But I remember that and remember him. And then, of course, as I became a baseball fan later on and started to pay attention to that and the incredible grace and humor and style and devotion that he brought to the game. It was just a remarkable, remarkable thing. And boy, can't say enough. In fact, there was even a let's see, did I find this? I may find this a little later. I know I got to do other things. At one point, Vin was talking about a Venezuelan player and went on a riff about how city and socialism, which never works. it was just a great American, a great broadcaster, and so rest in peace at 94. And as Vin delivered those words, I think I played them for you in 2016, right after he bade his farewell there from the booth in Los Angeles, and God gave him 8 more years. Rest in peace, Vin Scully. All right, it's 7:19. Let's take our pause, come back out. Kansas, the Kansas pro-aborts party all night long because the voters of Kansas, for whatever reason, decided not to remove from the Constitution what would have been remains a barrier to being the kind of pro-life state that they should be. And also in Dallas, there was a Channel 8 piece last night from Morgan Young, in which she described what the Dallas City Council is up to, essentially turning a blind eye to abortion enforcement in post-Roe v. Wade, Texas. We'll take a look at all of those. Mark Davis, 7:20.
Take me out to the ball game. Take me out with the crowd.
All right, I found it.
It's
25 seconds and it's great. Here's the Goo Goo Dolls for Vin Scully.
Will
take me out to the ball game. Okay, so there's an old bit of comedy by the great Roy Firestone, who does a parody of a baseball broadcaster named Biff Byrnes for the Toledo Mudhens. Hi, everybody. Biff Byrnes, the Toledo Mudhens. Hard liquor and handgun night here at the ballpark. And it was just – and the way that he does it as he weaves through. Coming up to the plate is Rodrigo Garcia. Garcia batting 242. In the offseason, Garcia tried to stage a military coup against his government as the first ball is inside 0-1. And just weaving this stuff through that. The reason I mention this is here's Vin Scully. Riffing on socialism during a Dodgers-Milwaukee Brewers game in one of his final years, and he's sitting there talking about it, and then at the end just immediately, seamlessly goes right back to calling the game.
Socialism failing to work as it always does, this time in Venezuela. You talk about giving everybody something free, and all of a sudden there's no food to eat. And who do you think is the richest person in Venezuela? The daughter of Hugo Chavez. Hello. Anyway, 0-2.
Great Vin Scully. Oh, goodness me. I could go on. But now let's do this. So Kansas did not vote the way I wanted Kansas to, but they got to vote. In post-Roe v. Wade America, states get to make up their own minds. And that is a monumentally good thing. And it's like, wow, it's Kansas. I think what it involved is a lot of people, there's a higher bar. It's like, oh, we're going to change the state's constitution. Well, yeah, because there's kind of an abortion rights protection in there. And that needed to be gotten rid of. They didn't do it. And, hey, we'll live and fight another day. But here's a little montage of Kansas pro-aborts. Just absolutely thrilled by the vote yesterday. Oh, yeah.
Relief, excitement, joy. I'm very proud of our fellow Kansans.
Only weeks ago, we were telling patients in neighboring states that we serve that their rights were no longer intact and that they had to flee their home state to get care. The cards
to get care. It's care. It's always all they want is care. They're just how dare you deny them care?
We're stacked against us. That was the intention with this amendment from the start.
As a husband, I did not look forward to trusting the legislature to protect the rights of my wife.
I love this. It's like it's putting this in the hands of government. Well, it's government stepping up to protect the unborn. So, yeah, that's something government does when it is when it's the will of the people to do so. So here's this guy who's a husband. Yeah, way to look out for the wife there, sir.
Avoiding a huge horror that would have come to Kansas.
A huge horror protecting the unborn. A huge horror. Mm-hmm. These people, man, these people.
One of the things I heard was you may be against abortion for yourself, but you can't be against it and make the choice for someone else.
Boy, you know, gosh, this slavery thing, you know, I'm against slavery. I think slavery is bad. But, you know, if you want to own a slave, that's kind of your deal. That's your gig. I'm not going to get up in your life and get up in your grill. You want to have slaves? Have slaves. I'm not going to have slaves. You following me here? Mm-hmm. How long you think that would last?
It's my life. On the line too. This was my right to bodily autonomy. Tonight we get to
bodily autonomy. It's my life. It ain't your life, darling. On the line. It's something you want to do. You want to terminate a pregnancy. You're fighting doggedly for the opportunity to terminate pregnancies, and your side won. But it is not about your life. It's about that baby's life, and that just didn't mean as much. Let's revisit.
This was my life on the line, too. This was my right to bodily autonomy. Tonight, we get to say to Kansans, you can still get care here. You are
care. It's care.
You are still recognized and able to make your own private medical decisions.
Your own private medical. It's just you. It's just you. It's you, your doctor. It's care. Ain't nobody else involved. Nobody else involved. You know, kind of like slavery. I certainly made a slavery analogy there about 2 minutes ago. But just like slavery, abortion runs on the engine of dehumanizing the victim. Slaves, not really fully human beings. The unborn, not really fully human beings. Well, yes, they are. It is 7:31. Mark Davis, 660 AM, The Answer. Let's see what's going on in Mike Gallagher's talk show world. We'll check in with him as soon as we pay a visit to the newsroom. Here's Gordon Griffin.
Come on along and listen to the lullaby of Broadway.
Ah.
The hip parade and ballyhoo.
See, I'm doing two things at once here. Little tribute to you, Tony Bennett, Lullaby of Broadway. Obviously, I could have done a million Tony Bennett songs, Left My Heart in San Francisco, I Get a Kick Out of You. But Lullaby of Broadway is yours on this, Tony Bennett's 96th birthday.
You know my Tony Bennett story, right? My brush with Tony Bennett.
Where'd you run into him?
Dayton International Airport, years and years and years ago. He had a garment bag over his shoulder. He's walking down the hallway by himself. I swear on my eyes that he was humming "I Left My Heart in San Francisco."
Which
I could not believe it.
Which you would think he'd be so sick of hearing and singing.
Never forget that. I thought, that's the song you're humming by himself. Yeah. I mean, there wasn't anybody around. I wasn't trying to impress anybody.
Are you sure you didn't just project that? You see Tony Bennett and you hear, you know, you just say,
You know, they talk about memories that get repressed and stuff. Maybe I we have the mind. This was like 50 years ago. It was a long time ago. So I don't know if maybe that was what I thought I heard, but I could have sworn that was what he was humming. And wow, what a great send-off you've given to Vin Scully.
Oh, man.
Gosh, like you put it, you talk about being woven into the, like you said, into the DNA of America.
Yep.
Wow. He was the greatest. You talk about the GOAT.
He really
greatest
was.
Of all time.
I mean, because you can, listen, Al Michaels, obviously, you know, of course, and et cetera, et cetera. But for longevity, style, substance, and just the scope of stuff that he covered, they didn't come better than Vin. Golly.
All right, let's get into it. Let's roll up the sleeves, Nancy Pelosi lover, you.
Am I doing just what the left wants?
No, but it's a weird story, and let me go right to what I talked about a lot yesterday, and it seemed like a lot of people agreed with me, and I want to bounce it off of you.
Yeah.
Why did she have to go? What's the point? Why does she go? I get that she can't back down. She couldn't back down. She had to go. We ought to stand up to China.
Right.
I'm with you until we get to the question, why now? Why Taiwan? What's her purpose? Do you agree with me that Nancy Pelosi is the ultimate and quintessential political animal?
Oh, of course.
So there's a purpose to this trip. And I think the purpose, they're going to, and we're going to go to Kansas here in just a moment, too, because that ain't good either. That's a very bad sign for the Republican Party. What the voters said yesterday and the media already having a field day over at the Daily Beast. Anti-abortion zealots collapse in first showdown post-Roe. That's their takeaway. And I want to get to that in a moment with you.
I'll wait
but
for
I want to start with Nancy Pelosi. Mm-hmm. I'll ask you, why now? Why did she go?
That's a very good question. So if we stipulate, which I guess we're doing, that it's good that she went and it was good that she didn't
cave. No, I'm not stipulating that.
Huh, okay, all right.
Why did she go?
Is there value? I mean, as opposed to Biden or as opposed to a Republican delegation? I mean, is it a good thing for American politicians to show solidarity for Taiwan? I think it is.
I would agree with that, but they haven't shown solidarity with Taiwan since 1997,
Newt Gingrich went.
When Newt went. Now, right.
Why not now? I mean, you know, there's never a bad time to show. Although I am hearing you. I'm feeling you, Mike. I'm feeling you. You're wondering if, despite the inherent value of the trip, if there's some ulterior motive, some political, which I'm always willing to entertain, especially with these people. So what might that be? Was it a one day diversion from the disaster that's Biden? Sure, but we're back. You know, so
it's a major distraction and it's a major attempt. There's a little layers and layers of reasons.
But you know what's weird? But if it was supposed to take away from the disaster that's Biden, wouldn't Biden have kind of gone along with it and said, "Yay, you know, wait"? Biden did not want
to go. But he kind of did. But he kind of
did.
He distanced himself, but he also, through his spokesman, he said, listen, we're not going to stop her from going.
That's
her decision.
Thanks.
And you know, but he didn't stop. He didn't condemn it.
No.
He didn't come out against it.
There was only one thing for him to do. Only one thing for him to say, and it was a disgrace that he didn't do it. And that is a 1,000% support for any high-level American political delegation to show solidarity with Taiwan. That's the only thing the American president should do. He did not do that. It was conspicuous right. by its absence, and I think it was shameful.
I think there's just a major set of distractions there, and a lot of people are speculating that she wanted to deflect attention from her husband's DUI trial. A new reporting coming out of that.
I mean, you know, that's which is if it were a Trump any of the Trump spouses, it would be front page all day long. But I always sort of reject, especially these days, the distraction premise that something happens or somebody does something to quote unquote distract. Who's distracted? I got to show 3 hours every day. So do you. Cable news is 24/7. Even if something makes us look at this shiny object over here for a day, guess what? Here we are back today. The Biden White House is still the worst of my lifetime. I'm back
correct.
On it. And so, you know, hey,
but she has been very, very forceful in saying we're going to win the House. We're going to win the Senate. We're going to hold the House. She's all about the political win. And I really do believe that she sees this as a political victory. She's got Republicans lining up like Mitch McConnell, dare I say Mark Davis. Oh, good right. for you, Madam
it
Speaker.
It is. So let's put your theory.
That's a win for her.
Okay. All right. Is the al-Zawahiri death a win for Biden? Sure.
I don't care.
Guess what? So should be a high-level trip to Taiwan. It's just a good thing to do. I mean, you're totally right. Some things that are inherently good, killing a terrorist, reaching out to Taiwan, they're inherently good. If a Democrat does them, well, there's that. But it does. Don't go dark on the good thing just because a Democrat did it.
I think sometimes the simplest explanation is right in front of us. And the Democrats, I think you'd agree, are desperate to change the narrative.
No doubt.
Right now, the country is in trouble.
But this doesn't do it. It didn't do it at all. She's back from Taiwan.
Well,
where's she going? To South Korea and Japan? Hooray. Great.
She stood up to China and a whole bunch of establishment. I'm not calling you establishment Republican, but a lot of establishment Republicans are lining up to congratulate her and slap her on the back.
That's great.
You know, here's why I think it's great and blah, blah, blah. And I'm sorry. I'm not there. I'm very cynical of her. I'm very suspicious of her motivation, and let's just leave it at that. Let's go to Kansas. This is a shocker, Mark.
I know it's Kansas.
It's Kansas. Yep. It's a conservative red state, and it's the first test of the post. This is what those of us who defend the Constitution and understand the handoff to the states. That's what the Supreme Court did. They kicked it back to the states, and in the first test. Well, guess what? The voters said a woman has this right, and it's bad on every level. There's nothing good about it except for the fact that, well, it's doing what the system is supposed to do. Let a state decide by state, and Kansas voters overwhelmingly decided. This was an amendment backed largely by the and funded, I think, by the Catholic Church in the state of Kansas.
Mm-hmm.
They tried to make the case it wasn't in and of itself a ban on abortion. There were, you know, exceptions for rape and incest and the typical language that's often used. But this is not bode well for our side.
No, it doesn't. It was a constitutional amendment thing, which people might have hesitated to do. And I also wonder, here's a theory I wanted to bounce off of you, is it possible that pro-lifers are so thrilled at the death of Roe v. Wade that we were kind of resting on our laurels in Kansas? Meanwhile, if you want to find a fired up group of voters where voter turnout tends to be high, it's people who are mad, people who are panicked. People who are motivated, not panicked, just people who are upset. They tend to come out and turn out. We were upset at the notion of Hillary being president. That's how Trump won. So the pro-choicers, the pro-aborts, are very up in arms these days. And I think they just had brought more energy to the battlefield in Kansas, maybe.
You know, it's one of those stories where I kind of tiptoed around very gingerly after the Roe v. Wade reversal was announced. I thought, this is not, I mean, listen. Thank God. Thank God for all the babies that are going to live. Thank God for the lives saved. Your brilliant comments about comparing the dehumanization of babies the way we did with slavery. All of those are, you check every box. But politically, this is going to be hard. It's going to be tough for the Republican Party, and I'm telling you, the polls, whether we want to admit it or not, the polls are tightening. The polls are, and Nate Silver, 538, whatever you think of polling, first time yesterday, this week, he's saying Democrats are going to hold the House.
Hold the Senate. Hold the Senate.
No, hold the Senate?
I think so. Dude, we're totally going to win the House.
Let me think. Now I'm blanking out here because I'm trying to.
I think you mentioned Nate Silver yesterday. We talked because that's what got us into our talk about
Senate. You're right. Senate, of course.
Dr. Oz,
because Pennsylvania, Dr. Oz. I'm sorry. I'm blanked out. No. Well, but listen, don't take anything for granted.
No.
I mean, just don't. And this is why we've just got to. Senator John Kennedy, the Will Rogers of our time, the
love
Will
him.
Rogers of the
Louisiana's own.
You know, and he said something yesterday. Every minute we're spending talking about Nancy Pelosi going to Taiwan, we're not talking about inflation. We're not talking about crime.
Guys, okay, it's a day, dude. It's a day.
But it could change the narrative. It could change the hearts and minds of voters.
Is there anybody? All right. So I would need to have an example of is somebody who says, okay, I'm in hell. It's Biden's fault. I don't want more taxes. I don't want open borders. These people are crazy with gender obliteration. But Pelosi goes to China. I'm all in for the Democrat Party. Does that person exist?
No,
I don't think that person exists.
But where you've got is an independent, perhaps, who's like, this is where we got to live. We got to talk about winning hearts and minds of independent
voters.
True. Mm-hmm. And they're flipping a coin. They got to say, which direction are we going here? Look at that. Look at all these Republicans lining up to praise Nancy Pelosi, who's the face of the Democrat Party. It's a win for them. And look at, conservative voters overwhelmingly defending a woman's right to have an abortion. Look at that.
That wasn't conservative voters. That was not enough conservative voters showing up in Kansas. I bet there are a lot of people from Topeka to Wichita to Salina going, maybe I should have voted.
You're right. Could that be a repeat? Could that happen in November? Of course it could. And this is going to give Democrats some momentum on that particular issue. And for anybody who is fearful that the Roe v. Wade reversal, the timing of it was tough. Now, again, I feel ashamed of myself to even talk about political timing because I know how many lives are being saved.
Oh, no, of course. And I know you're not saying, gee, I wish that they would have waited to overturn it to after the election.
Nope,
I know you're not saying that.
Nope,
But I hope to offer comfort in terms of let's not overanalyze Kansas. I don't like that either, but I have a feeling that for every Democrat who is energized and worked up, it's like, oh, show them we're going to codify Roe v. Wade, and they're compelled and prodded to the polls. There will be hopefully at least one Republican, at least one conservative there showing up out of gratitude and relief and empowerment to say, you know what, if this is what happens when we win, more please.
I mean, it points to that's exactly what it points to, that we better be as engaged
fight hard,
as we've
fight
ever been.
Smart. Yep.
We better fight hard. We better fight smart. We better win because the country hangs in the balance. I mean, this entire. By the way, here's a text message which will make your day on the Pure Talk text line here, which is 800-655 Mike. Anytime you hear Mark or Mike and you want to weigh in, 800-655-6453. Madam Pelosi went to Taiwan to get the chips and software to malign the voting machines. Now, with all due respect,
there you go. Hey, listen,
I'm not sure
she impossible.
That would be quite the clandestine operation for her to sneak away in the middle
that
of the night
would.
From the Taiwan Hilton and go get some chips and some software and put them in her Gucci purse.
That's
I'm
it.
Thinking that probably isn't
come back
good.
And get mix Paul a nice stiff drink and send him out to the grocery store.
And boy, he's in trouble too. They said now more reporting coming out of her husband's DUI arrest that he was definitely slurring his words.
Yep.
There was some kind of drug, a medication.
There was a drug in his system. And before you narrow that down, I don't know what that was. Was it meth or Tylenol? I don't know. I mean, there's a lot of latitude there.
I don't think he's a crackhead, but
no,
I don't believe
he's a crackhead. No,
and that's a distraction too. I mean, you know, this is
the distractions.
It's It's unfortunate, but listen, the more we're talking about Paul Pelosi's DUI, we're not talking about the country. We're not talking about inflation.
Okay, so. Inflation is terrible. It's Biden's fault. It's the worst presidency ever. I'll say it a million times, but you know what? If there's a weird other little story over here, or if something really good happens under a Democrat, like the Zawahiri killing or Pelosi to Taiwan, I think we could say it for 5 seconds and then get right back to
let's go, Brandon.
We can get right back.
Let's go, Brandon.
That's exactly.
Let's go, Brandon. Let's go, Brandon.
Subliminal
Mike Gallagher,
radio.
Let's go, Brandon. Bobbleheads are supposed to be here any day now.
What? What's that going to be? What is it?
There's a bobblehead that looks frighteningly like me, and I'm terrified by it because it does. It looks like me. It's got the fat nose. It's got the fat forehead. Yeah, it's a bobblehead, and it says, "Let's go, Brandon, the Mike Gallagher show."
It's a
Let's go, Brandon.
I must.
Oh, yeah,
you've
got to
have
one on your. You've got to get one. Don't worry. You and Lisa, top of the list.
Give me a case of those bad boys.
All Happy right, Wednesday.
Happy
All right,
Wednesday. Mike Gallagher ready to roll as soon as we're done at 10 on 660 AM The Answer.
Because of you, there's a song in my heart.
25-year-old Tony Bennett.
Because of you, my romance had its dark.
He is 96 today. What a career. What a voice.
Because of you.
Let's let Tony take us out. And into the 8 o'clock hour, more items from the news, calls from you, thoughts from me. Wednesday, August 3rd, Mark Davis, 660 AM The Answer. Glad you're here.
And never.
Three-star General Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn. Deliver the truth, whatever the cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never before seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, deliver the truth, whatever the cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to salemnow.com. Salemnow.com.